Growing up, we had a basketball hoop in our driveway where I played a lot with my brothers, but then our next door neighbors, they also had two hoops, but they had one that was shorter. So one I could dunk on when I got a little bit older, so it was a lot of fun to use that. But I would go over there and just play by myself and just kind of use my imagination, imagining that I was like this amazing basketball star with these amazing statistics and all this great success and all this glory. And then I thought, wow, my life is just going to be amazing if I could be like this basketball star, because everything would be, I'd have fame and notoriety, and everything would be about comfort, and this would be glory that so often the world offers or holds out to us. There's something very startling, at least at first glance, when we hear the first part of today's gospel. We hear, after Judas had left them, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Not the glory that we would first think of, that earthly glory, because we know that Judas's betrayal of Jesus led to Jesus' passion, his suffering, and his death. Of course, and that would look like, at first to the world, only a matter of failure and defeat. Certainly, again, not the earthly glory that so often we picture, or maybe we desire, we see others desiring all around us. So Jesus showed us the way to give. Jesus showed us the true glory, and this was God's glory in revealing his love. Earlier in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was struggling with the Father's plan for him, but he prayed, "Not what my will, but your will be done." And Jesus' humanity just wasn't easy for him, but still, in the perfect obedience to his Father's will, he gave himself completely, that total self-gift on the cross, dying for each and every one of us so that we might live, doing for us what none of us could do for ourselves, and defeating the powers of death. So yes, Jesus revealed God's great glory, and that was in revealing his love for us through his gift on the cross, that immeasurable love for each and every one of us. And then Jesus, of course, gives us the new commandment. Love one another, as I have loved you, so also you should love one another. And we might say, well, hold on, Jesus, wait a minute. That's easier said than done. Yes, we are called to live in imitation of his love, that total self-gift, that laying down of our lives for others. And we should remember, though, that we are not left to our own powers to try to love as Jesus calls us to love. Because through the power of his death and his resurrection, he has freed us from that selfish love that we tend to through Jesus' indwelling presence with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus empowers us and enables us to love as long as we allow him more fully into our lives, as long as we give ourselves to him in prayer, as long as we receive him and the sacraments with hearts that are prepared to fully receive him and to receive all the graces that he wishes to share with us. Then, in a sense, we're able to borrow that great love he has for us to help us love those around us and to help us begin to return the love that he has shown for us. Because, yes, we are called to share in God's glory by loving others and by revealing the love of God through ourselves, through our words, and through our actions. But this glory is not just about greatness or comfort, but so often, and of course we know through Jesus' example, that love requires suffering. Saint Teresa of Calcutta said that this is the meaning of true love, to give until it hurts. She helped remind us that yes, for us to truly love, we must suffer. And then through this suffering that we do for the good of others, God's glory is revealed. We suffer because we have to put aside our comforts, our desires, and we think of God and others before ourselves. And that unleashes that great grace and love that only God can give. When we put aside ourselves, allow him to fill us, and then share that love that God has shared with us. And the glory that we are called to isn't about great things, about fame and notoriety, but instead it's about the small things. St. Teresa of Calcutta also said, "Not everyone can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love." And we know that's where the rubber hits the road. It's that those everyday, ordinary circumstances of our lives where we are called to love, where we are called to deny ourselves, where we're called to put aside our selfishness and our comforts so that we can be present to others, so that we can give them the time that they need, so that we can be patient with them, so we can listen to others, so that we can be patient with those people who drive us nuts, so that we can take that time that we need away from perhaps some of our comforts to give that time to God in prayer, to allow him to fill us and to strengthen us and renew us so that we can share the love that he has shared with us. Because yes, all of us are called to share in this glory and giving ourselves completely out of love. And that's what God does here for us. He reveals his glory through the love and giving us his son, Jesus, through Jesus' sacrifice made present to us, giving us his very body and blood to help us to share in his glory and to strengthen us to share in his love and to share his love with one another.